Our scripture reading today is from the book of Hebrews and from 1 Thessalonians. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage each one and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Do you need a little encouragement? Don't we all? We sometimes fake it and make it look like we don't, but we love encouragement. And I was thinking of a very old song this week. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy or gray. Well, I wish that was the way it was. But you probably heard a discouraging word even today. If you turned on the news or listened to others online, it's so easy to hear a discouraging word, and so difficult it seems to hear encouragement. An old poem that I learned many, many years ago and I thought might fit here. Which one are you? Are you building up or are you tearing down? I watched them tearing a building down and a gang of men in a busy town with a heave-ho and a lusty yell. They swung the beams and the side walls fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? The kind you'd hire were you to build? Oh, he laughed. And he said, why, no, indeed. Just common laborers are all I need. They can easily wreck in a day or two. What builders have taken a long, long time to do. And I thought to myself as I went on my way, what part in the game of life do I play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by the rule and the square? Am I shaping my deeds to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best that I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the labor of tearing down? Well, I've been there. Sometimes it feels like the world is so heavy and everything's going the wrong way and we begin to get heavy and heavier. We forget that God is with us and that He's going to carry us not just to the valley of the shadow of death, but through it. We need to understand the significance of encouragement. The Hebrews scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit and how He comes alongside of us. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is C-H-A-Z-A-Q. It's pronounced Kazak. And it's used 309 times in the Old Testament. It's translated in this way: to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, to be courageous, to strengthen, to repair, to make hard again, to cleave, to be constant, to cure, to prevail, to fortify, to help, to be mighty, to aid, and to establish. And I'm thankful that many of you have been an encouragement to me. And I felt especially blessed some years ago when someone said, George, you don't think you have many gifts, but I think you have the gift of encouragement. And it began to make me think and say, Lord, in your Holy Spirit, make me an encourager. Make me an encourager. Not a flatterer. I got pretty good at flattering. But I'm going to speak in just a minute about the difference between encouragement and flattery. But in the Greek New Testament, the word for encouragement is parakalo. It's used 109 times in the New Testament. Now the Greek prefix para means to come alongside, to come along beside. It's used in the word paragraph. The Greek word parakalo is translated as to call near, to invite, to invoke, to comfort, and to exhort. I think of that scripture from John chapter 1 where it says, I've come to pitch my tent with you. I've come to be with you in the person of Jesus and then in the Holy Spirit. And then later we'll talk about 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Let's see that slide for just a moment. Because God comes to comfort us. He comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort others. Wait a minute now. I want Him to comfort me so I can be comfortable. You mean I have to comfort other people too? Well, that's the part of it. See, we're in partnership with God. It's not just for us, but it's so that we can be a channel of blessing. I'm afraid that God's comfort has gotten wasted along the way. Oh, we're comfortable. We're so comfortable we don't want anything to change. We're so comfortable we don't want to be pushed out of our comfort zone. But the scripture says He comforts us in all of our troubles and in all of our successes. He comforts us to remind us that it's not all about us. It's about showing others His love and so that we can comfort others. If you've been through some hard times, you know what it is to have a friend who has been through something kind of similar to say, I think I kind of understand what you're going through. Now, there's something within me, maybe within you too, that when somebody says, oh, I know what you're going through, you know, kind of puts us off, makes us defensive, and makes us think, you don't know the half of it, brother. But when those who have lost a loved one say it, sometimes they do know a little bit of what you've been going through. When you've lost a job, when a grandchild has disappointed you, when you've disappointed yourself. I kind of know what it is to be prone to wander and to kind of lose my way and take a detour. Yeah, I know. And sometimes we don't do anything because we say, well, I just don't know what words to say. Well, let me give you a hint. God created us with two ears and one mouth. Maybe He was trying to tell us something. It's more important to listen than it is to talk. Now, that's been hard for me to do, because I love to talk. I love to even hear myself talk. Sometimes I can't remember people's names because I've been introduced to them and all I can do is think, oh, what am I going to say next? And I forget their name. We need to listen. Whew, that's hard to do, isn't it? People are aggravating sometimes. They don't deserve for us to listen. We got our own stuff going on, you know? But when I was going through my clinical pastoral education, I learned something called the ministry a presence. That sounds fancy, doesn't it? But it just really means basically sit down and shut up. When you go into the hospital room and you don't know what to say and you say, "My God, I didn't know you were going to look this bad. Maybe it would have been better if you hadn't said anything." When somebody's bursting out crying and you don't know what to say, maybe the best thing to do is just to sit down next to them and be quiet and maybe touch them a little bit on the shoulder and show that you are filled with compassion. You don't know what they're going through or why they're crying, but it doesn't matter. You know, we men especially, we like to think that we know it all until our wives remind us that we don't. We like to fix things. And you know, sometimes when your wife or your loved one comes to you and they've had a bad day and they rehearse everything, every gosh awful tiny detail, you just want to say, "Well, let me tell you how I would fix that." But they really just need us to shut up and to say, "Well, I'm in it with you, honey." We faced a lot of hard times together, and we're going to get through this somehow. It's not so much being able to fix it. There are a lot of things that cannot be fixed. That's hard for us to understand too, isn't it? After all, we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we know we're independent, we're strong. We fool ourselves that we know how life works and we're going to get through it, but life sometimes drives us to our knees, and the best thing for us to do is to be quiet. Well, encouragement. Well, what's the difference anyway between encouragement and flattery? Well, in Hebrews, the word for flattery is C-H-E-L-E-Q, chelek. It means smoothness and seductiveness. That's what we intend to do when we flatter people. Look at the motive. It's really not so much to be a help to them, it's because we know they can do something for us, and we really want them to do it. So we take out our fancy words and we try to flatter them. Flattery is mostly manipulative, and there's a subtle difference between genuine praise and insincere, fictitious compliments. And when your loved one says, "How do I look in this dress?" maybe you better just nod your head, because no matter what you say, you're going to get in trouble. Flattery is selfishly motivated, but encouragement is humble. The Cambridge Dictionary puts it this way: flattery is the act of praising someone in a way that's not really sincere, because you want something from them. Way back when I was in college, I tried to sell World Book encyclopedias. Does anybody even know what those are anymore? Before Google gave you instant answers? And they taught us in our training sessions, now no matter what the house looks like, when you go into the house, you say, "Oh, what a beautiful home. Oh, I love the pictures on the wall." No matter how ugly the kids are, you say, "Oh, those are fine looking children." Well, that may be okay if you're a salesman, but it's not encouragement. It's not encouragement. As a pastor, I used to go pretty early in the morning to visit some church members, and these ladies would come to the door after a while in their nightgowns and without any of that facial makeup on, and, "Oh, preacher, You can't see me without my face on. What? See, us men don't understand that. I liked it when people started calling me the back door preacher. I could go in through the back door, and if you were snapping beans, I'd just sit at the table and snap beans with you until you told me what was really going on. Because, you know, we lie in church a lot, don't we? What do you mean, preacher? People say, how you doing today? And we say, oh, I'm fine. That's a lie. About 90% of the time. Sometimes when somebody says, how you doing? I say, do you really want to know? Have you got a few minutes? Because all of us have our own little bag of rocks that we're dragging around, don't we? Everybody's not ready to listen, but when people are, then that's encouraging, isn't it? Encouragement is motivated by humility, an earnest desire, an intentional effort to make another person strong. See, flattery a lot of times is just the opposite, isn't it? It's to kind of put another person down to build ourselves up, or put another person in their place because they're going to do something for us. Maybe they'll even bring a covered dish to you, or buy something you're selling, or tell you that your children are beautiful. Whatever. Flattery can be insincere, but 1 Thessalonians 5 says, encourage one another and build each other up. Now, we come up with a lot of fancy mission statements for the church, but I think that could sum it all up. We're here to encourage each other and to build each other up. Have you ever come to church and you feel like, well, it's Sunday morning, so I better drag myself to church. I don't really want to go. I kind of feel like I'm out of faith right now. Even John Wesley once said something to this effect. Those times that I feel like I don't have faith, can I borrow some of yours? That's a little bit what we mean by encouraging each other, you know. When you feel low, someone else is feeling high, and you can join together and wrap your arms around each other and be reminded that you're not alone. Flattery is insincere, but encouragement is truthful. When someone you love is suffering, don't just butter them up with empty phrases and cliches and simple answers. Early in my ministry, I memorized lots of scriptures, and that was good in its own way. And I found myself saying things, well, you know, if a couple prays together, they stay together. Well, that was a whole lot of help, wasn't it? Doesn't always work that way. We mean for it to. We send out these little cliches. We say, you know, God won't put more on you than you can stand. And the person in honesty says, well, I wish God didn't think so much of me. Sometimes the best encouragement, as I've said, is just to listen and to be present. Have you ever noticed that those six letters that spell listen, do a word scramble with me, you know? The same six letters that spell listen also spell the word silent. Oh boy. I don't want to be silent. I want that person to know that I've done something good for them. What's being silent? They'll think I don't know the Bible. They'll think I don't have any faith anymore. No, that's not true. When they see the compassion on your face, they'll say, thank God he didn't say any cliche today. He doesn't know the complete answer, but he knows the one who does. I like the way Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, to speak the truth in love, and we will grow together. So encouragement isn't always positive. Sometimes we need somebody to take us aside and in love say, "Did you really mean to say that? Have you ever wished like I have that you had a button that you could press and rewind the tape and erase those words that you hastily said?" I sure have. Sometimes somebody needs to take us aside and say, "I see you kind of going the wrong way a little bit. What can I do to help?" So it's not always positive, but it's that ministry of presence to speak the truth in love. Flattery builds up our pride, but encouragement builds strength. Often flattery begins with the phrase, "You were just so. You know, and when you first fall in love, how you said, "Oh, I'll swim the deepest ocean. I'll climb the highest mountain. And if it's not raining Thursday night, I'll be by to see you." Flattery begins with, "You are so," followed by a thick syrup of meaningless praise or an easy cliche. Paul gave genuine praise when he saw that God was at work in people. In Thessalonians, he said, "I see your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope." And some of the best encouragement that we can give is to be able to say to somebody, truthfully, "You've been through such a hard time, but I see God working in you. You're not doing it your way anymore. You're trying to do it God's way." Sometimes that's the best encouragement. Not an easy answer, not a 3-point scripture plan, not another book or tape or podcast. But let me be your friend. We'll get through this together. In Corinthians, he tells the people there that, "I see you being earnest and innocent and refreshing." And because he knows that good things he sees in them are not out of their own selfish spirit, but somehow that God is working in them. When I was a young teenager, I went to a Bible study called the Miracle Book Club, and I admired this man so much that would pick me up and take me there. But I came to where I almost idolized him, you know. "Oh, if I could just be like you when I grow up." And I said something to that effect to him one day, and he said, "Wait a minute, George. If you see anything good in me, that's God working in me, through me, in spite of me. If I disappoint you, just pray for me. Help me. Because it's not all about me, it's about Him." You know, we want to be the big banner, the headline, the words and lights, but we're really made to just be signposts saying, "It's all about Him. It's all about Him. If you see something good in me, it's all about Him. It's not about me." Flattery puffs up, but encouragement pumps up. I love to see those people that are coming towards me, and I sometimes are feeling a little down, but I don't want anybody to know about it. But I know that when they come closer, they're going to pump me up. Somehow, some way, they're going to pump me up. Flattery is full of nothing, but encouragement is full of muscle. I'm not talking about the muscle around your waistline. I'm talking about that spiritual muscle that we need. Encouragement is good fat. Did you know there was such a thing? Praise God, there's such a thing as good fat. Good fat that soothes and strengthens, but flattery is bad fat. It clogs up our spiritual arteries. It makes us think the wrong thing about ourselves. Don't just flatter, really encourage others. I love the words of Maya Angelou, and believe it or not, I'm about through. Maya Angelou, don't you wish when preachers said, and in conclusion, they really were, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Well, you'll probably forget what I said today. It's not worth that much. Words don't really count that much. But I hope that somehow the Holy Spirit, through this broken vessel, has encouraged you and made you feel and know without any doubt that ultimately victory is yours. And that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that no matter how badly you mess things up, He still says, come to me. Come to me. You don't even have to have all those words of apology ready. He just wants to wrap His arms around you and say, I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're home. Let's throw a party. What about you? Is there someone in your life who needs to know what a difference you've made in your life? As a young parent, I got real good at noticing everything my children did wrong. You didn't do that. Look at that corner over there. You didn't make it. Finally, one day I thought, how long has it been, George, since you just said, I'm proud of you. I noticed when you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you put your toys away. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you found your shoe under the bed so we could go to church. Oh, we need to encourage each other, even our little children. Sometimes they need to be corrected, but most of the time they just need to be encouraged. Just to know that they're not forgotten. Just to know. Oh, may it be so. May we be encouraged, not just so we can hold it for ourselves, but that we might share that encouragement with one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.